That's the number one thing you have to do, is to work on yourself.
What if nothing's holy and everything's allowed?
Because the truth is, you are enough.
I now always go with the heart.
There has to be a better way.
Tell yourself true things about God, not about yourself. God's word has to be your filter, your lens through which you see your emotional responses.
There is a better way. And now your host of The Better Way, this is Libby Glosson.
Well, is it? Is love all we need? What about truth? Where does that come in? Do you struggle to find the balance between loving someone and telling someone the truth? Maybe you even battle this within your own mind and conscience when it comes to yourself, when it comes to your relationships and your conversations and even your decisions. The world says love is love, and love should override everything. The world also says that love looks like tolerance and giving people the okay to love anyone and everyone that they want to in whatever manner they deem appropriate. And we're not supposed to comment on it or interfere, right? In fact, if we do comment on any of that, we're instantly labeled hateful and intolerant. So we know that the world does not have a correct working definition of love. But what about us as Christians? We also know that the Bible mentions truth and it mentions love a lot, right? So it's important. Both are important. And as believers, we get all sorts of mixed messages about what this really looks like in real life and what the Bible actually says about the relationship between truth and love. So one of my favorite scripture verses that combines both truth and love that I'm sure you're all familiar with is Ephesians 4:15. It says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we're to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ." So I'm going to ask you to put your finger on that verse for just a second. Let's hold our place there for a minute because we need context for that verse. This is one of those verses that I would say is really important to look at in the context of the surrounding verses. So we're going to circle back to that in just a second. But I want to challenge you for just a minute more to think about this relationship and balance between truth and love within a real life context. So maybe you are the truth teller. You tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to everyone all the time. There's conversation happening in the lobby at church on Sunday morning, and you walk by and your ear perks up because this group is talking about a theological concept that you happen to be an expert at. And they're a little off in the weeds, so enter you to set everyone straight. Because after all, they need to know the truth, right? And that's the right thing to do, is tell them the truth. Well, how about in a discipleship context? And this is where this gets personal for me. It's where the rubber meets the road for me as a biblical counselor. You are sitting across from a sister in Christ or a friend who's struggling, and you're listening to her talk about the suffering that she's going through, except for you're not actually listening. Your mind is racing, getting prepared, getting ready with that truth to spout at her as soon as she finishes talking. Here's what the Bible says, suck it up and obey. That's pretty harsh, right? And really not helpful at all. Not because the truth is wrong, and definitely not because you shouldn't tell someone the truth, but because of your heart motivation and because of your delivery. So let's flip the script for just a second, because I bet you know someone who is so incredibly loving that she never says a harsh word ever. I have a couple of women in my life like this, and maybe this is you. Maybe you're the one that everybody goes to talk to about difficult things because they know you're just going to listen and you're not going to give any pushback. And I know a few ladies who've even shared with me that they choose not to say anything, quote unquote, hard to other ladies because they feel like it's not their business and they don't want to make a difficult situation worse and they don't want to hurt someone's feelings. And then, of course, the biggie is they don't want their friends not to like them. P.S. If this is you, please go find my podcast on fear of man, because that's a whole different issue for another day. But guess what? This choosing not to say quote unquote hard things is really the opposite of loving. Because by refusing to tell another person the truth, by choosing not to say what that person needs to hear, you're really denying them exposure to the most helpful information. Now, I heard an illustration years ago about this balance between truth and love that was so helpful to me, and it's stuck in my brain for a long time. So I wanted to share it with you today because I think it will be helpful for you as you find a better way, a biblical way to think about this. So let's say you're out on the lake in your boat with your group of friends, and you're having a great day when all of a sudden one of your friends falls off the back of the boat. And guess what? This friend can't swim. So it's a every man on deck to help this friend get out of the water. So you throw the friend a life preserver. And the only problem is there's no rope attaching the life preserver to the boat. So the friend can get their head above water, but they're still just floating around free floating in the lake with no way back to the boat. So you've partially helped them, but it's not a full help. In the same way, if you just lob a rope with no life preserver out to the friend who can't swim, they are going to go underwater. So you might be able to drag them behind the boat for a minute, maybe get them partially back to the boat, but not in time, and they won't survive the trip. So this is the same relationship between truth and love. If we just lob a truth bomb out there into the middle of a situation, the person may be able to get their head above water for a minute, but they're still floating around in the lake. You still have not completed the rescue mission. Also, if you just throw love, a rope of love out to a friend, they won't be able to get their head above water. The full help, the rescue mission comes when we combine both the life preserver and the rope, right? The truth and the love. So Warren Wiersbe once said, he's an author and a pastor. He wrote a book years ago called On Being a Leader for God. And he takes it to a deeper level in this book. It's one of his most famous quotes, and I'm betting you've heard it before, but I wanted to share it today because it's so helpful to think about the catastrophe that can happen if we just have truth or just have love. He says it like this: truth without love is brutality. And love without truth is hypocrisy. Man, that really ramps it up, doesn't it? Those are some pretty heavy words, brutality and hypocrisy. So if you think about that in light of what we started this conversation with, when we're harsh, when we only offer truth, that's brutal. But on the flip side, if we only offer love, it's hypocritical. So it sounds like we got to take this pretty seriously. Let's go back to Ephesians 4 for just a second. So if you have your Bible, will you turn to Ephesians 4? And let's start in verse 12 together and look at what Scripture has to say about this balance, this relationship between truth and love. So starting in verse 12, "And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers." For what reason? "To equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ." So why do we need to know the truth? What's going on? To equip us for the work of ministry, to build up the body of Christ, to bring unity of faith to the body of Christ, and to help us know more stuff about Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So there's a danger, right? What does verse 15 say? "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." Did you catch that "rather" in verse 15? That means we need to look back a verse. Look back at verse 14. Rather than what? rather than being children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. So why do we speak the truth boldly? Because people who are immature in their faith will easily succumb to every new thing that comes along. And if that's you, if you're immature in your faith, you could go underwater pretty quickly and succumb to these things, to be tossed to and fro. So we've got to learn to be discerning. Why? So that we can resist these things. We got to grow up. We've got to mature in Christ-likeness. So there's a huge, important purpose to telling someone the truth, to telling ourselves the truth. So if you're talking to an unbeliever, that truth is the gospel. If you're talking to a believer, including yourself, that truth starts with the gospel and follows with all the biblical truth that comes with it. So we hit the how here, right? How do we do that growing up, that maturing into Christ-likeness? And we can see in Ephesians 4, it's as we gain knowledge of the Son of God, as we read and study and meditate on and memorize the Word of God, because the Word of God is the one and only source of truth. So how do we go about this truth-telling mission? With a heart of love. So when we come back from the break, we're going to take a quick peek at a biblical example of the perfect balance between truth and love from a heart motivation that is as perfect as well. Hope you will join me back here in just a moment. See you after the break.
And we'll be back with more from Libby Glossett in just a moment. Speaking truth in love, that's not just a nice suggestion. It's really a lifeline that keeps us from drowning in a sea of deception. And this episode today reminds me of a resource we have in the Fortis store that digs really deep into this subject. I'm talking about The War of Words by Paul David Tripp. If you haven't noticed, words can either build bridges or create separation in your relationships. And Paul David Tripp in War of Words shows us how our conversations are actually spiritual battlegrounds where truth and love have to fight together. This resource, I'm not lying to you, has transformed how I approach conversations, difficult conversations in my life. It's The War of Words. It's by Paul David Tripp, and it's available right now in the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. And while we're talking about resources, if you've not downloaded Fortis Plus just yet, let me ask you a question. What are you waiting for? It's completely free. It gives you access to hundreds of hours of audio and video content every day. We're going to post 7 new pieces of content every day, including the news feature from yours truly. That's worth the price of admission right there, which is free. So it's definitely worth the price of admission. Download Fortis Plus right now. You can go to fortisplus.org or you can download it from wherever you download your apps from, your app store. Just type in Fortis Plus, the plus sign, or you can type in plus. I think it works either way. But anyway, get it. It's absolutely free of charge. And you know, I was thinking about our ministry today. We've been doing this for 25 years. We've been committed to equipping believers to stand firm in their faith and navigating this increasingly hostile culture that we're all living in. There's a balance there between truth and love, right? We all realize that. And that's exactly what we strive for in everything we create here at Fortis Institute. We're looking for more partners. We're looking for you, as a matter of fact. If you're not already an ongoing monthly gospel partner, would you consider becoming one? Only if you're already faithfully giving to your local church and you're not strapped by any type of unmanaged debt, because that is first and foremost in your life. Your primary financial commitment must always be your local church. And if it is, and you're in a position to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, we want to ask you to prayerfully consider it. You can get all of the information that you might be looking for right now at fortisinstitute.org. All right, now let's get back to Libby Glossin as she continues to balance truth and love. This is The Better Way. Welcome back to The Better Way. Now let's turn down the world's noise and get back to The Better Way with Libby Glossin.
Okay, so back to it. Truth, love. Love, truth. How do we bring these two together in a way that's biblically faithful, that honors God? I want us to look at a couple sections of scripture for just a moment today to help us with a better way to think about what it looks like to speak the truth in love, both to unbelievers and to believers. And hey, if you're a believer, a true follower of Christ, you're called to speak the truth to yourself as you preach the gospel to yourself daily. So this applies to all of us all day, every day. But before we dive in, I want to lay a couple of ground rules. The first presupposition going in is that the Bible, God's word, is the one source of truth in this world. There's no other sources of truth because God is the ultimate author of scripture and he has ultimate authority. So his word does too. With that in mind, we've got to necessarily go to the Bible for finding out how to think rightly about things. And for this intersection of truth and love, we got to dip into the deep wells of the abundant examples that God gives us in his word of how we actually go about this truth-telling mission with a heart of love, without compromising either aspect. Remember, we want our friend back in the boat. We don't want our friend floating around the lake. And we certainly don't want our friend at the bottom of the lake at the end of a rope. Because our God is a great God, oh, he's such a great God, he consistently provides us with the perfect example through Christ, and he shows us how to walk in a manner worthy of his Son. I just love this about God. He doesn't leave us guessing. He gives us an owner's manual, an instruction book with tons of references to go along with the commands. So Jesus himself is the perfect embodiment of truth and love in this exquisite balance that reflects his holiness. So the other ground rule is that Jesus himself shows us what this looks like to have truth and love in perfect balance. So let's go to God's word just to make sure that we've got this right. So Jesus says about himself in John 14:6, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So right there we have it, a really clear proclamation from Jesus's mouth that he is the truth. He says that. He doesn't just tell the truth. He doesn't just fight for truth. He is truth. And then on the side of love, keep in mind, Jesus is 100% God, 100% man, right? So we know that verses like 1 John 4, 7, and 8 actually apply to Christ, even though it's talking about God. Those verses say, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. And anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Now, connecting that to Christ is actually the very next verse, verse 9. "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him." So here's where God sent his love in Christ. It says it right there. The love of God was made manifest in the person of Christ, in the incarnation of Christ. So, okay, are you following me? Our presuppositions, the ground rules we're taking in here are the Bible is the one source of truth and Jesus is the perfect example of truth and love existing together in balance. So let's talk about truth and love to unbelievers, aka evangelism. Okay, raise your hand if the word evangelism scares the bejesus out of you. You mean I gotta tell someone that they are destined for hell without Christ? That there's no good in them without Christ? That they literally cannot do anything to reconcile themselves to God or even make their life better without Christ? Eek! Okay, so what do we do? Oh, we water it down. We listen to the commentary that says we better not offend those who have never darkened the door of a church because then we'll lose them for good. Go easy. Appeal to love and acceptance. Pour them some coffee. Run the smoke machines and play the feel-good worship music. After all, isn't that what Jesus did? That would be a big fat nope. Don't believe me? Well, I didn't make it up. It's actually in scripture over and over again. One great example is John 4, 7 through 26. This is a really commonly known story of the Samaritan woman at the well, and you may be familiar with it, but just in case you aren't, for the sake of time, I'm going to summarize it just to give you the whole story quickly. So Jesus is at a well, and he providentially runs into a Samaritan woman, as she's a social outcast for several reasons, but she's there to get a drink. She just wants some water. It's the middle of the day and it's hot in the desert. So she's there to get some water. Immediately, Jesus addresses both her perceived need, the water, and her actual need, which is him, salvation in Christ alone. He doesn't give one without the other. And he identifies himself to her as the answer to her greatest need. Check out John 4, 13 through 14. Jesus says to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water," the water from the well, "will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him," the living water, "will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life." And then, Jesus just pats her on the head and doesn't acknowledge the sin in her life for fear that she might leave. Just kidding. That's not what scripture says, and that is not what Jesus did. Jesus actually does the exact opposite. He not only acknowledges her sin when she states that she has no husband, but he confirms this fact. And he adds the rest of the story. Look at verses 17 and 18. "The woman answered him, 'I have no husband.' Jesus said to her, 'You're right in saying, I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband.'" And then look at how she responds. She gets mad, gets her feelings hurt, calls Jesus intolerant and judgmental, and runs away. Nope, again. Look what she does. She agrees with him. "What you have said is true," at the end of verse 18. So there's no watering down the truth here, but we see a receptive heart in the Samaritan woman because Jesus coupled his truth with love. He had compassion for her, enough to tell her the truth. So what do we learn from Jesus here? When we encounter unbelievers, we should always introduce them first to Christ, the living water. We should then help them to see the reality of their sin, their lives without Jesus. This is truth in love, without coming across as hard and condemning, but instead compassionate. We are addressing their greatest need. You might even ask the person, "Can I show you a better way?" And then present Christ as the answer to that greatest need, just like Jesus did with the woman at the well. Are you seeing the intersection of truth and love here? This is exactly what Ephesians 4:15 is talking about, speaking the truth of the gospel to bring an unbeliever to repentance and salvation because we have compassion on them, because without this message of truth, they are headed straight into hell and separation from God for eternity. But listen, it doesn't end there, my friends. In fact, that's just the beginning. We already talked a little bit about this earlier in our discussion of Ephesians 4, 12 through 16, but we see this pattern throughout Paul's ministry in his interactions with other Christians specifically. He repeatedly addresses believers with a heart of truth and love. In Acts 20, 17 through 21, we find Paul addressing the elders of the church at Ephesus. This was the church leaders. He says, "Now from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church to come to him. And when they came to him, he said to them," Paul said to them, "'You yourselves know how I lived among you the whole time from the first day that I set foot in Asia, serving the Lord with all humility and with tears and with trials that happened to me through the plots of the Jews, how I did not shrink from declaring to you anything that was profitable and teaching you in public and from house to house, testifying both to Jews and to Greeks of repentance towards God and faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.'" Paul is getting ready to leave these guys. He's getting ready to depart from Ephesus, and he's been serving God alongside these men for a long time. He's shed tears with them. They've suffered together. It's clear that Paul loves these guys. His farewell to them is not a big squeeze and a "I'll be praying for you." He actually includes a solid reminder that he had always been firm in the truth because he loves these guys so much. He says he did not shrink back from telling them the truth. So how about you? Do you love your fellow Christians enough to tell them the truth? Not to crush them, but to help them. It's been said that love doesn't trump holiness and love doesn't trump truth. Does that apply to you? Would you be able to say like Paul that you did not shrink back from the truth? Let me put this another way. Sometimes the most loving thing we can do is tell our brothers and sisters in Christ the truth, even when it's tough. 1 Corinthians 13:6 says, love does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. And 1 Timothy 1:5 says, the goal of our instruction is to love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. So the goal in our truth telling and our instruction is not just to proclaim the truth, but to express love for other people, whether believer or unbeliever. So this is going to be our goal too, just like it was Paul's. And now that you know a better way to think about truth and love, put it into practice for your good and God's glory.
This has been The Better Way with Libby Glosson, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed The Better Way with Libby Glosson, would you consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? And also, would you consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until tomorrow, go serve your King.